This program may not represent the views of Bonneville International Corporation or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions from this broadcast are solely those of the individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of Solutions Developers Corporation, providing consulting, application development, and business productivity solutions on the Microsoft platform. Federal Tech Talk is the show that opens the world of technology to the federal government. Every week, John speaks with public and private sector IT experts to help you understand some of the IT trends and challenges that your agency might be facing. Federal Tech Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Now, your host, John Gilroy.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today we have in the studio Dave Patterson. He's the Executive Director of the National Defense Business Institute at the University of Tennessee, the College of Business Administration. What a title there, huh?
Yes, it is. Thank you very much, John. It's really a great opportunity to be with you.
I love to have Dave in the studio because he brings in a whole fresh perspective. I'm down with the dotted quads and the information assurance and the FISMA and this and that, but Dave just brings this whole different perspective to the whole idea of IT and purchasing IT and sustainability of purchasing IT. And that's why I want to bring him in the studio, give him a kind of a new, fresh perspective for my audience. Dave, before we begin, you have this huge, big background. Just tell us the highlights of some of the decades of your experience here.
Well, some people would refer to it as a checkered past.
I didn't see any felony convictions in your background. So it's not too checkered.
Right. I started out in the Air Force in 1973 and had a really good career, and a wonderful career. In fact, my wife and I have always said that there was never an assignment that we had that we didn't really love, and the people, of course, were fabulous. And that's what really makes the military the place that worthwhile to be. After the Air Force, I went to McDonnell Douglas as the one of the director of international business development for the C-17 program. And following that, a small company, Stephen Myers & Associates, that do big proposals for very large programs. I was assigned as the vice president and site manager for the Joint Strike Fighter program. And I can tell you without too much fear of being contradicted that winning is better than losing.
Yeah.
And following that, started a company of our own. And then was picked off to be the special assistant to Paul Wolfowitz, the Deputy Secretary of Defense at the time. And when Secretary Wolfowitz went to the World Bank, I stayed and was asked to take on a project to identify ways in which we could do acquisition better in the department. And we developed the Defense Acquisition Performance Assessment. And I'm very proud of that. That turned out to be a very, very successful endeavor. And you can always tell when you do a study and it's fairly successful that others cite it. And it's been cited a number of times. So we're very pleased with that. And that actually was where I got an association with the University of Tennessee, who picked up the sponsorship for that. And they had a contract and were willing and happy to take on the Defense Acquisition Performance Assessment.
Great. You know, I was telling my kids last night that I'm going to have this guy in the studio. I mean, I work for a small company. A lot of people I do for small companies. I said, this guy isn't used to juggling, you know, like a spreadsheet of three or four accounts. This guy's got like 500, I don't know, is it $500 billion budgets? I mean, these are huge. This is a really big numbers. Very hard for me to even comprehend these kind of numbers that you got to juggle the DOD.
Well, it's huge. And it is to their great credit that though they are often maligned, that they have eight agencies that have clean audits, that have gone through a very demanding audit process and have clean audits. And the value of those eight, and it may be nine by now, I'm not sure, my information a little dated, but the value of those agencies exceeds any other federal agency that's had a clean audit. So it's to their great credit that they manage the money as as well and efficiently as they do.
No, I'm a student of history, and if you look at history, you see large organizations. I mean, it's just very difficult. The joke is it's more difficult than moving the 5th French Army, all kinds of things, to moving these large projects. And I talk about IT projects all the time, and IT projects can be very large, DOD, and moving them and making them sustainable and how to work on them efficiently. That's why I wanted to talk about more in here now. There's a lot of people have been looking at the way IT is acquired at the DOD. If you just look around, you see all kinds of, there's a Defense Acquisition University, Defense Acquisition Board, Defense Acquisition Reform Panel. I mean, everyone wants to reform something or change something with acquisition. I mean, I guess there are significant problems, and you're the one who's in the middle of trying to understand what these problems are and change them.
Well, that's exactly right, John, and I mean, it's become a boutique industry. When we did the Defense Acquisition Performance Assessment, we had 128 previous studies in the last 20 years. And what we did not want to be is the 129th study in the last 20 years. And so what that actually prompted my interest in starting the National Defense Business Institute at the University of Tennessee, where our primary focus is to provide research and studies that are practical and useful for both the industry and the government. And we like to think that we do it in a fashion and time frame that allows decision makers to make decisions. Our studies generally run about 3 to 4 months, sometimes a little longer. But what you have is you have results and recommendations and conclusions and an implementation plan that you can use within the budget cycle. And so we hope to be useful in that way.
So what exactly is the Defense Acquisition University then? It's a separate, completely different organization.
Absolutely. So its purpose is to prepare the acquisition professionals and others within the Department of Defense and all of the government services to be program managers and to do those jobs that support the program manager. And they have a very, very robust and effective training programs there for a wide variety of technical skills in the world of acquisition.
It's almost like a program manager just for that one vertical area of acquisition.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was another panel that came up called the Defense Acquisition Reform Panel in 2010. This is a congressional group that popped up here looking at the exact same thing, huh?
That's right. I believe that was chaired by Congressman Andrews, and I testified in front of that panel. I thought it did a very good job. I thought that it hit all of the right issues. The problem and the real vexing aspects of this is, okay, now we know how and what's wrong, so how do you fix it? Yeah. And how do you implement those fixes in a way that you can be effective?
So what you can do at the University of Tennessee is from a geographically distanced position, you can take a look at it and try to come up with an analysis that you can put in someone's hands and say, here's what studied thought and reflection has led us to conclude in the area of acquisition for this particular category, whether it's cloud computing or SLA or whatever. Is that what you're trying to do?
That's right. And in fact, we did complete a study for the Air Force on cybersecurity and how best to contract for that, and provided them the results of that study, and that was one of the first ones we did.
And sometimes you get too wrapped up inside the Beltway, and I'm the first one to admit that you realize that maybe people outside the Beltway don't live by acronyms, and maybe there has to be some fresh, original thought in this whole process. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, let's focus in on this whole concept of IET and maybe talking about SOA governance, service level agreements, and maybe something that my federal IT audience may have a fascination with. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today we are speaking with Dave Patterson, Executive Director, the National Defense Business Institute at the University of Tennessee College of Business Administration.
Federal news and information just got more fun and interesting. Amy Morris joins Tom Temin on The Federal Drive, weekday mornings from 6 to 10. Tom and Amy tailor their show for Feds on the Go with usable information from trustworthy and seasoned journalists. You're going to learn, but they also might make you laugh. The Federal Drive with Tom Temin and Amy Morris, 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Federal News Radio, 1500 a.m.
Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Dave Patterson's in the studio today. He is the Executive Director of the National Defense Business Institute at the University of Tennessee College of Business Administration. Before the talk, we talked, before the break here, we talked in general about a lot of these concepts about the Defense Acquisition University and you know, Dave's background. But I want to get into the nitty-gritty here. You know, I had a friend who was just in Germany at CBIT, and he said he saw 37 different tablets on display there. You know, I mean, technology is just changing. It's just, yeah, I mean, I don't know how I can keep up with it. I don't know how the listeners can keep up with it. What if you work for a large agency and you're shackled to a contract for 1 year or 2 years? How do you respond to changes in technology, Dave? I mean, this is the real challenge my listeners have, you know, is they're locked in for a certain process legally, but you know, people want to use their mobile devices, and what are you going to do now?
Well, it's a big problem, and it's especially a big problem within the Department of Defense, as you can imagine. But the contracting world has ways of solving that problem. And you can have service contracts with a number of different companies that are available to do the work for you in a very short period of time. One of our commands that we've been working with is particularly upset because they say in order to implement one of a number of different IT initiatives that will take 6 months, takes 18 months preparation to get it done. And that's just, I mean, that's silly, and it's ineffective, and it costs the taxpayer money, and that we've got to figure out a better way to do that. So you've hit upon a very important problem, but contracting officers do have ways of dealing with it. And so what you have to do is you have to lash up the IT program manager with the contracting officer, and don't let them give you the default position. Ask them for the different options that they have. And make the requirements very clear. The requirements process is one of the key stumbling blocks in getting good contracts.
Yeah, the word that's talked about is sustainable. You know, we talk about the sustainable agriculture, and there's sustainable IT acquisition as well. And I think this is the whole thing is that if an officer has to be responsive to needs, they have to be able to do this over a long period of time with a rapidly changing environment in a very, very secure environment. All of a sudden, I'm saying this is not an easy process, and you have to be transparent, and oh, by the way, you have to be secure, and your staff's going to be reduced.
That's right, and but that last part seldom happens, I might add. What I think is one of the big troubling factors is that you do have this conflict. You want things to move very quickly. You want them to be able to be very agile and adjust to changing circumstances, and yet you look at, and when I say you, I mean I'm the institutions. They look at the purchase of equipment and services as if it's something unique, and it's not. It's stuff and services. And we ought to be able to establish ways of doing things that allow for very rapid acquisition of stuff and services. But there are certain things that do have to be implemented. I mean, you do have to have a certain amount of oversight. You have to have good process and program controls. Coming from a former comptroller, you know that I was going to say that. And so that you have to be good stewards of the taxpayers' money. But at the same time, what happens is this oversight becomes shadow programs. And the oversight then in itself becomes inefficient and ineffective and costs the taxpayer money. So you have to have this happy medium, and that's a challenge.
I think if you look at those 128 programs that you mentioned earlier, I think one critique has always been that there's an ad hoc process of acquisition, and there's got to be more structure to that. On the other hand, Katrina wasn't exactly a planned event. I mean, it had to be a lot of ad hoc acquisition for Katrina, and look what's going on in Japan now. I'm sure there's a lot of ad hoc acquisition being done by that government over there. I think it's just the nature of the beast, and there's ways to put guidelines on this peculiar problem that very different from the commercial world.
You're right, and it's to the Department of Defense's great credit that they are responding to this disaster in Japan in a very rapid way. And as I think that you will recall, within hours, we had ships sailing to Japan.
Hours?
Hours.
Yeah, this isn't getting in your car and going up to the store. This is a huge endeavor.
That's correct. I mean, you just don't turn a aircraft carrier battle group around in the next couple minutes. And so, but nonetheless, it was rapid by most standards, and it's to the credit of the creative thought process of the Navy and the Department of Defense and others. We have the Air Force and Army all who are contributing to this, and we're using databases and we're using IT information systems in order to manage and to make this a very effective event in the way in which we help other countries.
I think it could be a case study. Hey, look at this.
Yes,
you turned on a dime.
Indeed.
You turned this big, huge elephant on a dime, which is incredible. The life cycle of technology is awful difficult to predict. And we see the iPad 2 coming out, and then there's going to be a new phone in the summer, and then this and that. I mean, this in of itself is a challenge in the whole process of acquisition. I imagine with assets like vehicles, there's maybe a easier life cycle there. But with technology, it gets more complex.
You're right. And if you look at in the commercial world and how they view things, they have price points, they have market assessments. They know almost to the hour when it's a good time to come out with the iPad 2, when it's a good time to come out with the 4G iPhone. And that kind of thinking would be very beneficial for the Department of Defense and other government agencies to adopt. Learn how to take that kind of thinking and make it fit into a much more structured and disciplined world.
Yes, it's almost expecting change and being able to manage that strange through a loose framework. That in of itself is difficult, but it's being done, and we're going to be forced to do it whether we like it or not, because this is a rapidly changing world. Got to take a quick break. When we come back, talk more about acquiring technology. We have a Dave Patterson in the studio here. He is the executive director at the National Defense Business Institute at the University of Tennessee, the College of Business Administration.
In Depth with Francis Rose, Monday through Friday, 1 to 3 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Want to know how Congress is affecting your agency, staffing, and budget? Want to learn more about the relationship between your agency and its contractors? In Depth helps you become a better manager by exploring the best ways to manage projects, manage your workforce, and manage yourself. In Depth with Francis Rose, weekday afternoons from 1 to 3 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio, we have Dave Patterson, the Executive Director of the National Defense Business Institute at the University of Tennessee College of Business Administration. What it boils down to, we're talking about how to be efficient stewards of your tax money, of the federal tax money. And if you'd like to pursue this further, you can go online. I imagine the best way to find you would be just to Google Dave Patterson, and your name will pop up there. And you probably go to the University of Tennessee site, what my guess is, huh?
www.ndbi.com.
NDBI.com is a good place to start. Well, great. Let's continue this conversation. We start off with these big, huge general concepts of the acquisition university, and then we talk more about specific IT programs. And let's talk more about these best practices for being efficient. It's got to be very confusing if you are a federal IT professional and you know a little bit about business case analysis and you're getting hamstrung by the contracting process itself. I mean, it's got to be real frustrating.
I'm sure that it is frustrating, and people I've talked to express this frustration. But a good program starts at the very beginning with a good acquisition strategy, one that's well thought out, one that looks at contracting and the options that are available. That strategy then flows into a good draft request for a proposal. So you have a strategy that tells you what you want in some significant level of detail, a contracting strategy that supports it, that makes sense, and that gives you what you want in a timely fashion, a timely fashion being appropriate to the time you need to field the piece of equipment. And then you have a draft RFP, request for proposal, that then alerts the industry to the requirements and what you want and when it should be put into the field. And then finally, after the industry comments are taken on board and incorporated into the final a draft RFP or request for proposal. Now you have a program that is founded on good strategy, good input from the industry, and hopefully a request for proposal that will prompt industry to put in proposals that are on cost, on schedule, and able to perform as expected.
How can my listeners structure an acquisition to be flexible enough to respond to a Katrina, or to be flexible enough to respond to an earthquake, or a XYZ in Minnesota? I mean, we know if you're going to buy a keyboard or a monitor, there's certain performance requirements you can have. But I think the looseness of a flexible approach for down the road, that's a challenge.
It is. And we have emergency contracting procedures that allow for the government simply to go out and contract at a moment's notice. But those, too, take some amount of time to put in place. And the best way to go about this in terms of information technology or any other contract services is to have a service contract with any number of different vendors who have already competed to be on your service contract, so that you just put them in your Rolodex and you call them up and they're ready to go.
So you could have a several solutions on the shelf.
Absolutely.
And know that they're on the shelf, and you can deploy them at will just to know that they're already there, unbudgeted.
Yeah, that's correct. But it does take preparation. It does take some forethought in order to try to anticipate the kinds of things that you would run up against in a natural disaster. But, you know, we're not unfamiliar with this. It's not like every time there's a natural disaster, you hear people slapping their forehead saying, oh my gosh, I never thought we'd ever have this. Well, the fact is that you have FEMA and you have any number of different organizations who are prepared to deal with these kinds of things. And working in concert with the Department of Defense and other government agencies, there is that capacity to respond very quickly.
You know, if you listen to people up on Capitol Hill ranting and raving about the acquisition process, they talk about performance management, modernization, accountability. I mean, it's the same sword that's been rattled for many years. But I think practical results, like you're trying to work with the University of Tennessee, I think that's really the I think that's where progress will be made. It's like anyone can stand up in front of an audience and harangue them, but the people in the back room trying to come up with real practical solutions, that seems to be a slow, methodical process for improving the whole acquisition system.
That's correct. And what you have to be careful about is that when you come up with a solution that creates a new process, which is then laid upon the previously established processes, that just adds another layer of complication. What we need to do is to cut through all of that and to understand that there is a process that is appropriate for what you want to do and try to eliminate all of the things that aren't productive. I always probably, perhaps unfairly, but accurately, point to the help that we oftentimes get from Congress. And you look at the latest Weapons System Acquisition Reform Act, and they've got 12 reports that they have asked the Department of Defense to make sure that they comply with. Now, wait a second. That doesn't make any sense. You're supposed to be making things more efficient, more effective, and cutting through all of that, and to apply 12 more reports doesn't seem like that's what you're about.
Overly burdensome, I would think.
That's right. But they're bureaucrats. They can't help themselves.
We got about a minute left. I want you to get out your crystal ball there, and tell me what's going to happen 5-10 years down the road, what role University of Tennessee is going to play in this, and where you see your role is going to be, and maybe some solutions that will pop out of this.
Well, we would hope, obviously, that we would grow and that our opportunity to provide research and studies would move out of defense and into some of the other government agencies where we believe we could be helpful, and also that we would be able to be agile and flexible in the way we look at information technology and other services and equipment acquisition, so that we would be timely in our research, in our studies, in our recommendations, and certainly in our approach to implementing what we recommend.
So for more information, there's a website. It's NDBI. What's website again?
It's www.ndbi.com.
Get more information on maybe studying there, getting some of the reports. These reports only for Congress or for just regular schlubs like me?
Oh, no. We make them available when people...
Well, good. I'd like to have you come back maybe 6 or 8 months and take a specific topic like managing mobile devices for people in the field. And we'll take a look and see, you know, what acquisition techniques can be best used for acquiring these types of devices that are just, you know, confusing for all my listeners and me too, just to acquire and then to manage in some kind of a life cycle. You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'd like to thank my guest, Dave Patterson, Executive Director, National Defense Business Institute at the University of Tennessee College of Business Administration. Thanks, Dave.
You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of Solutions Developers Corporation, providing consulting, application development, and business productivity solutions on the Microsoft platform. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear it in its entirety on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Federal Tech Talk, Tuesday mornings at 11, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM, WFED, your source for federal news now.
Do you know someone who has done something outstanding in the field of human capital management? Nominate them for Federal News Radio's second annual Causey Awards. Together, we'll call attention to what may be a best practice in government. Anyone can be nominated, career, political, and contractors working in the HR field. The award is named after Mike Causey and his lifelong dedication to the reporting of management and federal pay and benefits issues. To nominate someone for the Causey Awards, go to federalnewsradio.com, search award.
Newsmakers on In Depth with Francis Rose, weekday afternoons 1 to 3.
General John Jumper was Air Force Chief of Staff from 2001 to 2005.
You've seen Secretary Gates advocate for more resources to the State Department and other agencies to be able to form sort of deployable forces to deal with these transitions when the time is right. And I think he's done a lot to improve that.
Hear the entire interview online, federalnewsradio.com/in-depth.